cold in here, or is it just me?
It's cold.
Okay. There's a comedian, he's kind of vulgar, his name's Louis Black. I don't know if you've ever heard of Louis Black. He's just outrageous. He's kind of the guy that when he does his comedy, he spits. You know, I mean, he just carries on. And one of his bits or one of his shows that he had, it's called The Rave Is Due. Because he's sort of like this raving mad Jewish guy that just complains bitterly about everything. But, or I think The Rant Is Due, that's what it is, The Rant Is Due. Sort of. And I almost feel that from my perspective, a rant is due. So if I start ranting and raving today, calm me down, set me out in the cold, and I'll be fine. What I've been thinking about this week is, as I looked at the readings, and, you know, we have the first reading from Moses, and again, there's this huge theophany, this huge event, this revelation of God. And as a postscript on all of that, this is the reading in terms of remove the sandals from your feet, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground, is recognizing that this place is holy and that for years people have been praying. Here's why I still don't wear shoes when I celebrate Mass. It's in large part because of this reading, recognizing this as a holy space. You don't have to pay any extra for that, but that's where that comes from. But again, you know, we have these profound experiences of God that probably for most of us, we've never had. I mean, when was the last time you're out in the yard and your rose bush burst into flame and a voice of God came to you from it? Probably not. And if you did, you would probably check yourself into St. Charles Hospital right immediately. Because that type of thing often does not happen. But what we have experienced are some of the tragedies that Jesus is alluding to in the gospel. We read about them every day. You know, Jesus talked about some tower falls and there's 18 people killed. You know, not long ago, 14 people were killed with some wacko opening up with machine guns on them at a Christmas party. You know, I mean, political violence, that's what they're talking about with Pilate. That, you know, they were worshiping, and Pilate's guards come in, they kill all these people, and they mingle the blood of these people with the blood of the sacrifice. It's this political violence. And that's something that is probably more to our experience on a daily basis than having a burning bush talk to us. So what happens in terms of our lives as we look at trauma and tragedy? Last week we talked about the penitential psalms. Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, I bring these up so that you get your homework done. Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. Those are the penitential psalms where the penitent cries out. And what are they crying out for their pain? Ultimately for God's mercy. Crying out for God's mercy. And what I was thinking this week is, you know, mercy is messy. Mercy is messy. And here comes the rant. I periodically will listen to EWTN radio. And it drives me crazy. I usually have to turn it off. Because what's happening time and time again is the primary focus of the commentators is the issue of procreation, either abortion or gay marriage or contraception or something. I mean, that seems to be the main focus. Not saying that's not important and not to be considered, but that seems to be the main focus. Now, the point that pushed me over the edge this week, there's always something different every week, but this week was when these group of commentators were explaining what Pope Francis really meant. When he talks about mercy and forgiveness. Because it's really messing up these people's world. Pope Benedict talked about the church being a small chapel where not everybody got in. Now you see, if you have a small chapel, we can regulate the behavior of pretty much, I mean, we can regulate who gets in what doors, we can manage it, and we can control it, and we can make sure everybody does the same stuff. When you have a small chapel, your primary focus is on obeying the rules. And you do what you're told to do. And everybody does what's told to do. And it's manageable and it's controllable. And how often has the church neglected, in my opinion, mercy for the sake of control? That we got the rules, you follow the rules, you're all good. Because the rules, you can control the behavior of people, the thoughts of people, and the way people go. Now you've got this guy that shows up, this guy from South America, a Jesuit who takes the name Francis, and he tells us the church is more like a field hospital. A field hospital? My God, they're doing triage. They got people coming in all doors. They're just working to save people's lives. It's not sanitary, it's not appropriate, it's not following the rules about the way things need to get done. And that's what he's saying the church is like, a field hospital. He talks about mercy, and you know what? Mercy is messy. He's declared a year of jubilee, a year of mercy. Now, Pope John Paul II established Mercy Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. It's the Sunday after Easter. So Pope Francis comes along and he's talking about mercy. Now why? This is just amazing to me when you hear people then trying to explain that, you know, he's not really changing, and I agree with it, he's not changing the positions on the church on anything other than saying where you focus is on God's mercy. The mercy of the Father. And there's comfort in that for me. Because I am in need of God's mercy. I wrote down a quote from Pope Francis. He says, "Every time I go through the gates into a prison to celebrate Mass or for a visit, I always think, why them? Why not me? I should be here. I deserve to be here. Their fall could have been mine. I do not feel superior to the people who stand before me. And so I repeat and I pray, why him? Why not me? It might seem shocking, but I take and derive consolation from Peter. He betrayed Jesus, and even so he was chosen." I'm not sure I would have heard that from Pope Benedict. "I take great consolation and solace myself in knowing that there's this man who is leading this group of people in faith, that his focus is on mercy. Because mercy is messy. You can't contain mercy. You can't manage mercy. I can manage a small chapel and make sure everybody follows the rules, but I can't manage mercy. And you know, that's a blessing for us. Because I suspect that most of us in this church don't really like to follow rules all that much. We'll tolerate them, but I also suspect that all of us in this church are in profound need of mercy. Because our lives haven't worked the way that we wanted them to, we haven't always responded to the Lord's call in a full and open way. on a regular basis, we turn our face to God and turn our lives to sin. That is why we are in need of mercy. And Jesus is saying, look, you know, those people that were killed, the tower fell on them, Pilate killed them, all of these. Because you see, they, in this time, the theological approach was, if bad stuff, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? That if bad stuff happened to you, you deserved it. You deserved it. It's like those old Westerns, when the young guy looks over and says, well, I guess he got it coming. He had it coming to him. And the old guy says, we all got it coming to us, kid. Yeah, we all got it coming to us. But that's where God's mercy is not dependent on my faithfulness. God is merciful apart from my goodness or badness. And the amazing thing is the only thing I need to do is cry out for it. And there's only one thing that's dependent on that, and that is my understanding and awareness of my own personal need for mercy. I need to know that I've sinned. And I need to feel that sin, and I need to be willing to repent and to ask forgiveness. That's the only thing, that's the only requirement. I've got to be willing to know. But you know, it's a lot easier for me to say, Ed, you got it coming to you. And to point my finger at Ed or Lane or Helen, Mary Lou, to say, you got it coming to you. Yeah, we all got it coming to us, kid. And I think that is why so many people find the church lacking credibility, because it's pointing the finger and it's saying, you got it coming to you. What Pope Francis is saying is, yeah, we all got it coming to us, kid. We all got it coming to us. And when we understand that, when we can lock into that, and we can get beyond our pride and our arrogance, then we can throw ourselves on the mercy of God. A mercy that is so holy that we have to remove our shoes because we cannot stand on holy ground, and we hide our face for we cannot look on the face of God. We say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Whenever we begin our liturgy, that's what we begin with. It's crying out from our sinfulness, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And it is given to us as a free gift. Free gift. Here's God's mercy. Be open. May we all be open to God's mercy.